Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, and we are going to put such a bright spotlight on the Southwest tonight. I'm very excited. Thank you for joining us. I want to mention right up front that this show is made possible because of the support of Discount Cab, and we thank you for that. Mike Wall, thanks. A big heartfelt thanks. Hope that anyone listening in the Tucson or Phoenix area who needs a cab will think about Discount Cab because they support things like Mrs. Green's World and Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. So these kinds of shows that I know you're going to love are made possible. So get ready for a great show tonight with a wonderful guest making a difference for the health of the entire planet of ours. Very happy to welcome finally as my in-studio guest, Michael McKenzie. He is the founder of the Lucky Nickel Ranch in Eloy, Arizona. Michael, it's a long overdue pleasure to have you here. We've connected many ways, many times, and finally you're sitting here.
I am. Thank you so very much for having me here. I'm really excited. There's so much going on in the area and so much we want to talk about. Thank you for
and
having
so
me.
So much that you're doing. It's becoming nearer and dearer to my heart. I think everything happens in a perfect timing. And now locally owned, organically grown has become one of my big spotlights. So let's start a little bit about your background. When did you decide to start the Lucky Nickel Ranch? What was your vision? It's a tough challenge to start to be a farmer. It's got to be.
It's a tough challenge. It has been an ongoing effort for the last 15 years. It started out my daughter, Lauren, Nicole, my little lucky nickel, has been my inspiration for many, many years. And she looked at me one day and said, "Dad, someday I'd like to have a ranch." And I said, "Okay, let's go build one." And so as time went on, we were looking and doing things. And I was in college and got out of college and came to Arizona and looked around and found this place. And so we started from there.
And so it began. And how is your lucky nickel? How old is she now?
Mike, she's not so little anymore. She's 23 years old
now.
How
did that happen?
Yes, they just grew up. I got to see her this weekend. She's graduated from college. She's married. Her husband is currently deployed with Army Special Forces. They're living in Colorado Springs, Colorado. So very proud of them both.
And that'll come around in this interview about your love for veterans and what's going on and some of the really unique offerings that you have as part of your vision. So tell us, how big is the Lucky Nickel Ranch and what kind of things do you produce?
Lucky Nickel Ranch is 32 acres. We produce about 21 different items, and we're expanding each year. They're all on small scale, but we have lettuces, carrots, all of your wet vegetable that grows most commonly here in the wintertime.
Okay, that's going to go there too. Okay, so one of the things that I know in my journey of Mrs. Green, you say in your website, our goal is to bring certified organic produce to the Sun Corridor, Tucson, Casa Grande, Phoenix, to build community in a sustainable fashion. First of all, isn't the certification process for organic quite rigorous? What all does that entail and who does it?
It is rigorous. It is a great deal of documentation from
paperwork,
and calendaring and dates and what did you put in? Where did you get it? Are they certified? What is their process? Where do your seed come from? All of that goes through a documentation process annually, and then we have a physical inspection that is done by our certifying agency is California Certified Organic Farmers, or CCOF.
Right.
So they send their inspector out, so I have to have everything documented. It is, for me, before he shows up, at least an 8 to 12 hour process of putting things
together. It's like
having
an audit.
It is.
It's really looking at all the things that are going on.
So it's a year-long process. It could be up to a five-year process, depending on where you are. I started documenting all of my farm activity early on with the vision of someday being certified. So how is your ground taken care of? What inputs did you have? And then having that validated by a federal agency through the Farm Service Agency, they document and control what your inputs are and what your farm plan is.
And when you talk about inputs, do they, you know, you said seeds, so you have to make sure you have certified organic seeds and document that. Is there a rigorous part for the pesticides, which is always things, you know, I interview people all the time about herbicides, pesticides, insecticides. Is that another big thing they look at?
That is a huge thing that they look at. All of your chemical inputs or your pesticides, bug pressure, all of that has to be listed either on the Washington State Department of Agricultural list of allowable inputs, or the OMRI, the Organic Materials Research Institute, produces a list of all of these inputs or types of inputs that have been organically certified or allowable under the organic procedure.
It's, in other words, it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Before you get in the dirt, it's a
lot
of
work. Oh, my gosh. And I like the words, you know, when you say in a sustainable fashion. Is there an interpretation of that that you would like to share? Because sustainability is thrown around as a word, but does that mean that the farm can continue to go? Is it that there's always going to be adequate water, that the soil is going to be healthy? When you say in a sustainable fashion, what does that mean to you? Because it was important enough for you to write about it.
As a small-scale producer, revenue and cash flow and capital allocation is very, very difficult. So sustainability to us is repurposing things, finding new uses for old things when they've outlived their usefulness as their original design, capturing old farm equipment, reconditioning those, putting those back to work, our soil, building our soil using different inputs. Alfalfa was grown in the beginning to rebuild our humus and our organic matter in our soil. Water conservation, the application of biologicals to help reduce our water usage and build our soil back up to a productive state. It's a living organism. And so building that and being prepared for the valuable seed that we put in so that we have a good start. So using all of those things, sustainability as far as our community coming together, is it sustainable? Will they support it? It's there for them. So we count on their support. And that's sustainable to us.
You know, I love it when people say to me, that's a great question, but that was a great answer, because it is not just the typical making sure that the produce is there. It's the whole bigger concept of sustainability on a global scale and outreaching to the community. And that's a really great answer. And I don't say that very often because I'm too busy thinking about the next question. So when you talk about water, and the availability of water, certainly a hot topic in the Southwest. Talk a little bit about the availability of water, and a great time in the show to introduce two of my favorite people. I know you work with David Cohn, who we were talking off air, is one of our heroes. He really is an incredible man. I don't say that lightly. And Jason Tankersley, because of their green waste. So talk about water challenges and conservation for people that might be saying, you know, this sounds interesting. I might want to give up everything in my life and start a small organic farm.
Good. There's plenty of room and we could use the help.
And we need it.
And we need it. Yes. David Cohn is a great supporter and champion of Lucky Nickel. Another great Marine, fond and dear to our heart. But we are living in a desert. There is a desperate need to conserve. And it's in different ways that we need to conserve this water and this resource. We're running out, and in the next few years, we're going to see our accessibility to water reduce significantly with changes coming up in different irrigation management districts, groundwater supplies, and availability of CAP water. CAP is our Central Arizona project. So with that, we have to do, on the global scale of things, or on the Arizona localized scale of things, significant management. How we maintain our irrigation ditches, how we maintain our resource as far as distribution. On a smaller scale, at my level, we work on conservation more so than the management of it. What can I do to increase my water availability through reduced loss? Using back to feed, putting in new cement ditches, maintaining the ones that we have, putting in low flow equipment, using drip irrigation where we can. All of these things contribute and help at a small scale to the larger picture of
conservation. With the water conservation. And tell people what Back to Feed is, because I haven't had David on the show in a really long time, and it makes me think I want to have him back. I was a neophyte, and he brought us some Back to Feed, and our front porch turned into what I call like the little shop of horrors. It was great, but everything, all of a sudden we went out there like 2 weeks later, and everything was growing and like beyond ridiculousness. We should have taken before and after pictures. So tell people what Back to Feed is.
Back to Feed is a microorganism culture. There are several different strains of bacteria in this formulation. And what it does is it is kind of a shotgun approach to soil building. It is not a fertilizer. It's an amendment. It helps the natural occurring bacteria to break down our soils, in our salt, the chelation process of the fertilizer and the things that are already in our soil that are locked up, bound up, and can't be released, to be released. So using nature to help us nurture our soil by conserving the water, by reducing our fertilizer inputs, and a healthier soil produces fewer pests, fewer pathogens. It's just healthier all the way around. And David brought this to me, and I took it through the process of getting it organic certified and approved on our farm. It was so simple and easy to use, and I thought, what a great opportunity for other small-scale farmers. Our biggest challenge is input cost. Everyone is feeding off of our inputs, and what we want to do to feed our community. It was a great conservation input for us, and it was a great financial reduction of cost for us.
Which is great. Green, green, green. I mean, seriously, it's a wonderful product, and I know it's been helping on some golf courses. We were talking off air, and it annoys me beyond measure when I read about the golf course water use and say, why isn't every golf course in Arizona using Back to Feed? But hopefully we'll get to that. Very interesting part of your vision to me. I don't know if I knew that you were a veteran too. I certainly know that David is, but part of your interest is that of involving veterans. Where are you in that process, and what's your vision for that? There are so many millions of them coming back, and I don't know, but I think of farming as something that would be a therapeutic transition in the right way.
I'm a prior service veteran as well, served about the same time, 20 years ago in a peacetime Marine, but still the same. We have a great opportunity. Lucky Nickel has been slowly transforming and working towards an incubator farm. We've set up new irrigation canals and sites for other service members and the open public the same to come that want to learn how to do this. But we're seeing more therapeutic value with our veterans returning to work on small-scale farms, and many of them starting their own. And one of the great champions of this is Michael O'Gorman from the Farmer Veterans Coalition. David and I have been talking with him for several years now, and we're really excited. February the 10th, we're going to have a Farmer Veteran Coalition event. Information gathering at the time. We're encouraging veterans from all over the state to come to Central Arizona College on February the 10th. There'll be more information on my website later concerning the details. Opportunities in education, opportunities in land, leases and rentals, and opportunities for education. The University of Arizona Ag Extension Office in Maricopa County, we've just started a Master Farmer program that gives students that are interested in starting small-scale farms some credentialing, some basics to get started, something tangible that they can take to a potential agricultural employer and say, hey, I've gone through this, I have some basic knowledge, and opens the doors to agricultural opportunities. And we want to tailor that to our veterans.
And, you know, you see a lot of new business paradigms that give me hope. And when you're talking, I'm thinking about, I know that our food co-op in Tucson, they are the locavores on steroids. I mean, they really want to keep as much thing locally, which, as you know, is sustainability in action. And they gave a grant or a loan, I'm not sure the details, to Sleeping Frog Farm because the demand was so great for healthy organic produce that the food co-op could not keep up with it, let alone the lines at the local, you know, at the farmers markets. So there are new paradigms of financial support, I hope, because would it not be cost prohibitive for someone to say today in 2013, I think I'll start a little local farm?
It is. It's a huge obstacle to overcome.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing more effort made in co-opting, partnering with a small scale farm or someone that has infrastructure and implements and things like that in place, instead of everyone trying to reinvent the wheel. Let's just make the wheel that we have larger and run better.
And that really that's what I call the new paradigm. I mean, it really does work a lot better for everybody. Just different ways of doing business because of the way the things cost. Okay, I want to talk about if you're not, I understand you have great connections with the Cooperative Extension and the U of A in Maricopa County. What other ways do you get your word out? Because you have a CSA offering. And talk about what a CSA is and how people who are listening say, you know what, I want to do a little bit more. What could someone do, one person who wants to lead a charge and make a difference?
Championing a CSA, a community-supported agriculture program, partnering with a small farm, buying a share from them, gives them the much-needed capital that you can't get from banks or other lending institutions because of the risk factor or how long you've been in business, how long have you done this. This is something new for you. Then the risk is high, and so typically the opportunities for capital investment is not there. So a community-supported agriculture program really is that connection. It joins the community around you to help sponsor or purchase a share, a membership share. Half share will feed a family of two and a full share will feed a family of four, but you're partnering to receive both the bounty of the harvest when it comes in, and you're assuming some of the risk as well. Pest pressure can come in. We had strange snow weather last season and freezing. And
we had no rain this winter until like this week.
Exactly.
I mean, this summer.
Exactly. So all of those things that are out of the farmer's control are absorbed within the community. And then when you have a good season, then the bounty gets spread around as well to the community that has supported it. And so that's a great way to build not only relationships, but build the food system that you desire.
So if someone's listening in Arizona and their Eloy is kind of between Phoenix and Tucson, it's in Pinal County, it's about 50 miles from here, 65 miles from Phoenix, so you're closer to Marana and Oro Valley, and we have listeners there. If someone said, oh my gosh, I really like this guy and I'm really excited about doing this, how many people would they need to start a CSA?
We've kind of figured it out to where we need 10 people within the immediate area of Casa Grande, Eloy, Coolidge, Florence. To go further up to Phoenix or Tucson, we need at least 15 people to champion and come together to establish a pickup point. And we'll establish a date and a time that works for everyone, works for us, and then we'll meet you there on a given schedule.
So it could be I-10 on Casa Grande. I mean, in Casa Grande, where everybody stops, who goes back and forth from Tucson to Phoenix. And how often is the produce delivered? Is it once a week?
It's once a week.
And what kind of things are in it from your farm?
Oh, God. This year, we're planning to expand. Last year, we had 21 separate items. We had lettuces, kale, spinach, collards, different types of Swiss chards, leeks and onions and radishes and carrots, two varieties of carrots. Radishes, just a whole
all certified
list.
Organic.
All certified organic, and each year we have a trial field where we do new test beds of different varieties to expand into our larger fields the next season. So
talk about the Uzbek melons. We have to fill that. We have to put that in because that's gotten you national recognition.
It has. We partnered when we first went from into organic production, partnered with the International Rescue Committee out of Phoenix. And they are an international organization that helps displaced political refugees or refugees from all over the world. And so they were looking for a grow area. And so I approached them and I sent them an email. I said, hey, we've got some grow area that we're not utilizing. What can we do to partner with this? And so they introduced us to four Uzbek refugees.
And from Uzbekistan.
From Uzbekistan.
I love it.
And so they were farmers and herdsmen in their native country. And so using what they had and what we know now, we were able to teach them how to incorporate their old skills into organic production. And they said, you know, we have these beautiful melons in Uzbekistan, and can we get some seed and grow them here? And I said, well, I don't know. I've looked all over, and oh, don't worry, we'll call some friends. And so the Uzbek melon came to Eloy.
Now, where does that fit into the certification process? Does that have to go, or is that like a separate part of the farm that isn't certified? Because I think, okay, is it similar climate? All the wheels in the bus start going round, 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 round.
They have a similar climate there in their summertime. As far as falling into the organic certification process, there are some conditions in which you cannot use, or you can use, non-organic seed, and of which there are specific varieties that you cannot get, the quantity you cannot get.
So Uzbek melons just fell
they
into
fit right in, and
that's awesome.
Were approved and went in the ground and did wonderful.
And are they delicious?
They were incredibly sweet, incredibly unique. Nothing that I've seen here in the States before.
And were they popular for the CSAs?
They were popular with our farmers market, and for the folks up in Phoenix, the Uzbek refugees would take them up to their market there, and it just did very well.
Talk about a global community right here in Eloy. I mean, that I think that's really a great story. And someone in the LA Times picked you up, the science writer, and somebody from Chicago. Who did you say the name is?
I'm going to look it up. Andrew McCray.
Andrew McCray came and interviewed you. So it's like, that's the beauty of the internet.
It just ties a global community together. It's incredible, because our business would not run without that technology. Just to reach out to our statewide and national family helps spread the word and helps to build the community here in Little Pinal County.
And one of the things that you said off air that I want to bring up is that you are truly a team. Your wife not only has your back, she's there 24/7. She teaches school, and you weren't satisfied enough with doing just a farm. Now you want to talk about the bed and breakfast farm stay to promote agritourism. Now, I know that I've written quite a few blogs in the past about ecotourism, voluntourism, where people can actually go and experience what it's like to work on a farm and bring their families. Is that the concept?
That is the concept. In a small-scale farm, you really rely on diversification of resources. We have our small-scale farm that brings community and food and connectivity that way. And then you have the bed and breakfast that also supports that, and education. My wife's a big educator, and she's been my greatest champion in starting this and running with it. So education is big for us, important to us. Our community is important to us. And so her coming in and preparing all the meals and the recipes and the decor and whatnot, she just compliments my mechanical aptitude on the backside.
That's great. I so get that. She brings the beauty and the other part of it.
She ties in the functionality with the beauty.
Yes, she does. Because they're both really important. It's a good team. What about do you just do it on weekends? I mean, she works full time.
I run it during the week. I maintain all of the infrastructure and whatnot, and the scheduling and management of that portion of it. And she'll set up a meal and then says, okay, you have to cook it this way. Or she'll pre-prepare things that I don't have the artistic ability to accomplish.
So I love it.
Together we do well.
And there's two things I want to talk about now. One is, when you started this, you said it's about 15 years. Were the challenges, just in this conversation in 20 minutes, of finding you in an SEO, finding you have to keep your farm going, you have a bed and breakfast, you are working with the University of Arizona, you have to get it certified organic. I mean, I'm exhausted just talking about it. And then you really have to focus on the social media piece, because that's the reality of our world. For a CSA, for doing something like this show, which I hope starts a CSA, if one person listens to this and says, I'm going to do it, email Gina at Mrs. Green's World, and what's Mike McKenzie's number? How do you keep up the social media piece?
from the tractor seat. If you are following us on Facebook, see pictures of
incorporating it.
Driving the tractor, stop and take a picture. Here's a row of carrots going in, or here's some pests we've run into. All of this, we have these tools. They're clipped to our belts, and so
I'm Instagramming from the fertilizer machine.
That's our next stage. So we have all of our fields leveled currently, and the next stage is to apply the compost. So you don't be surprised that you don't see the manure being spread on Facebook.
People want to see that. They really do.
They do.
It's absolutely true. People want the real experience. Are you hopeful? Here's where I sit, so I'm going to be honest. I see more and more and more interest in healthy food. I see you can go to the high end where Whole Foods is rocking it. They're more expensive for some things, locally owned. They're price competitive. The farmers markets are packed. Even in the summer, they're packed here in Tucson, and the proliferation of them. They have one at the Loft. They have one here. They have one there. Are you seeing it speed up? Is it going to make it easier for you, Mike?
I'm seeing a larger interest. We're kind of in that pocket outside of the metropolitan areas of Phoenix and Tucson.
Right.
And so I think I've been strategically placed here because I'm equidistant to both metropolitan areas, that my community is driving both directions to get this. And I thought, why not bring them home and grow it right here? So we reduce our footprint, we reduce our time loss in commute to get these local foods, to get these more nutritious eating options. And then why not make it certified organic?
That's really, it's an unbelievably huge owner, to me, so onerous step. What about things like, because this is another thing I thought that you have to do. I'm obsessed these days about how many millions of bees are dying. And when you talked about having alfalfa as a crop, that's one of the crops that requires pollination. You have to stay up at things like that. Are you reading on the tractor, too, about trends in farming in Arizona? Like, how do you stay on top of all of it? I'm exhausted.
It's a lot of late-night reading and early morning reading and constantly consuming the latest topics that are important. You're constantly being fed information, and then you have to weed out what's directly going to affect you, or how can you directly affect the change in that. So the bee population is a problem. We have bees on our farm, and I'm looking now into having more of I'm deathly afraid of the sting and allergic to them, but I'm going to learn how to run a beehive and develop that into a local honey. It has so many benefits. Our pollination of our plants and more of a holistic healing for allergies, buying local honey
and
consuming that.
Bee pollen
that.
And
yes.
Eating local honey. I mean, people don't, they start sneezing and sneezing. If you put bee pollen locally sourced and honey, which we do, it can take away all the need for all those pills that people take to control their allergies. I admire you because I'm totally terrified of getting a bee sting. Okay, we have a little bit less than 2 minutes left, and I want to ask you to tell us the ways that people can get in touch with you, and if there was one call to action that you have the shout out for our listeners, what would it be, Mike?
Go out, find a small local farm near you and support them. Join their CSA. It doesn't necessarily have to be ours. It just needs to be a small farm. There's so much effort that will go into that dollar that you produce. You know exactly where it's going to go. You know exactly how it's going to be used. So I would encourage you, find a CSA, join them, support them, and let's grow.
And find the Lucky Nickel Ranch on Facebook. It doesn't matter where you live. To me, in the country, we are a global economy. Find that. And what's your website?
It is luckynickelranch.com.
Okay, that's easy. And it's LuckyNickelRanch.com. Mike, thank you for coming and for all you're doing for the planet. Let's definitely stay in touch. Give my love to David Cohn. He's a big absolutely. He's one of my heroes. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I don't know about you, but for me, the time flew. Next week, Sharon Foltz, Manager of Community Relations for Tucson Electric Power Company. It will blow your mind when you hear about all the great things that TEP does for our community every week. Stay in touch with me on Facebook and Twitter. And everybody, remember, make it a great green week and support your CSA.